Do I remember how to do this?
The Broadcast, the biggest podcast in Vancouver, pretty much.
We participate in light misandry. Get out of here with that. Sexism.
All of our societal structures are designed in ways to inherently prejudice women.
Coach's Corner was kind of like my bathroom break.
I don't like to be bamboozled.
I think it's amazing what you guys are doing. I mean, I'm having a lot of fun.
Hello and welcome to the Broadcast. I'm your host today, Sam. You can find me on Twitter at SamanthaCP underscore. I am here with Georgia and Mal. You can find them on Twitter at Georgia Twists. Are you on private right now, though?
Yep. Yeah.
So good luck with that. and Mallory at Sports Lesbian. We have finally gotten our shit together to record.
Our schedules are
we technically have a standing Tuesday recording time that we just blow through
and week. I will say that I think I said that multiple episodes you recorded were too bad to be aired.
That's true.
I think that there's at least one or two that have happened at least in the year 2024 that I've been like, these are bad and I don't want anyone to hear them. I'm so sorry, it's not happening.
That definitely happened with our last episodes. That if we still ran our Patreon, we might throw up there. But
I literally think they're too bad to even see that light.
I
have a severe like inferiority complex as well. Like, we can't. I'm sorry.
We set our standards too high.
We did.
But we are back to talk about sports and sports things, and it is. It is my personal goal this year to record semi-regularly and have semi-regular episodes.
Yeah, we had actually, like, we had set that date of saying that that was what we were going to do, and then
we blew through the first quarter of the year, but now it's the second quarter, so we can try again.
What? Outside Mallory's window.
Oh my god. Sorry, like part of this sighting, I think, just like flew off and is like slamming against the window.
It looks like someone there.
Scary stuff.
Oh my god. We're led astray by nature.
So we're off to a
rip-roaring start.
Totally on track. You know what? I'm going to bring back highs and lows, but I'm going to switch it up and instead of asking for reviews or reading reviews, I'm just going to ask you guys, how are you doing? What's the vibe check?
Georgie? Right. Me?
Yeah.
I'm good. I was sick for a while, which is not very fun. I am working full time. I decided to also take an extra course and write a journal article, which is not ideally smart for me. And it's also just my usual can't say no to things. So, yeah. But otherwise, I'm doing good.
What's your journal article about?
Runaway children in Vancouver from the 1970s to the 90s. Yeah, it's like a social history of
interesting
child justice and incarceration and blah, blah, blah. It's like I'm just co-authoring it with a prof that I used to work for, which I was her RA for this project, so I did all the research, and I think she just wants me to help her because I did all the research originally. So, yeah, it's very exciting, but also I haven't written anything academically since I graduated, so I'm like, this will go well, I'm sure. But yeah, baseball season's back. It's already garbage. The Mariners suck, so that's fun. I was planning on joining the Canucks bandwagon for the playoffs, and yet we'll get into this later. It's looking concerning. but Arsenal's top of the table, so everything's looking great. They just have to win every single game for the rest of the season.
They do.
Mallory, how are you?
Yeah. I don't really have any like good excuse like Georgia has. I will say that I've been like, hey guys, record tonight, record this week. Except for I will say that I did have to cancel a few, I will say that.
You
don't have like a very good excuse. Like,
but you've
Georgia
been really
does.
Good at keeping us on track.
where George is like,
you have been.
I'm doing all of these things. And Sam's like, I have a baby and also a job. And I just have, like, the excuse that, like, I don't know. I feel like having ADHD makes me feel like I have a 2-year-old with me at all times.
That's fair.
I feel like I have that excuse, at least. I don't know. I don't feel like I have anything really new and exciting to say. Arsenal's top of the table, at least.
And the Arsenal women won the Conti Cup. Let's go.
Yeah.
But they're going to push
I mean, I'll get into royal stuff later. It's baseball started, but I don't know.
When you said that, I thought that you were going to start talking about Kate Middleton.
Oh, we can also do that.
We should do.
Which is so funny that I'm such an anti-monarchist, but have to have the Royals as my team. That's really a bummer.
I feel like every time we record, it's like, oh, all of this stuff happened. Like, everything's happening so fast. Like, since last time we recorded, Kate Middleton was missing, and then that whole situation happened. Gypsy Rose Blanchard got married and is now divorced already. Getting matching tattoos with her ex-boyfriend.
I just think...
There's so much happening.
We have too much access to too much information.
We absolutely do. I 1,000% agree with this.
It's information overload.
My brain can't take it all.
Yep,
Sam, what's up with you? You're the coolest of us all because...
No, I'm not.
Our beloved host today was a great host last night. I was not there. Georgia was.
I was there to witness her greatness. It was a fantastic event.
It was a great event. I didn't really know what to expect, to be honest. I was the moderator at Hockey Night in Chinatown last night at the Chinatown Storytelling Center in the downtown east side of Vancouver. It was great. It's my first time there, and it was actually super cool, and I want to go back and actually check out the exhibits, but I honestly did not know that much about Larry Kwong's story, so it was really cool to hear Chad Soon talk about it, and he and Larry's daughter, Christina, are actually going to be broadcast guests in May, I think, is the plan. And then I actually thought I really enjoyed hearing from Kelly Lee Gilmore, who is a 55-plus champion in BC, and kind of hearing her hockey story. I thought that was really cool. So it was a cool event. Like Georgia, I have been sick. I feel like I've been sick for like 7 straight weeks, and it just like keeps coming back. So it's not great.
No.
I feel like my brain is so dead that I'm sure you've seen on my Goodreads, I've started reading
1,000%. Oh my God, Sam, I saw this. She's in this jock romance. There's 12 jock romances.
It's gotten, I'm so brain dead. That's like the only thing I can actually read. I'm not reading like the truly atrocious ones. They're actually like passable contemporary romance.
No, I understand. Like there's definitely different tiers to that. Yeah. Especially, listen, there's like the
very... I want to make fun of you, but I read 16 cowboy romance books when I was six. Sick. This lady wrote 16 of them, and it kind of, you get into this mode where you're like, well, I just got to read the next one.
Yeah.
Because they sequel pill you. And so you're like, well, yeah, I got to know what's happening. And then you read 16 of them and you're like, what is wrong with me? Yeah. I don't care about horses this much.
So the jock romance one was like not terrible, but not great. I've recently read a few by Avery Keeling, I had actually read them before, like when I was way younger, and then she was publishing them on Wattpad in my Wattpad era. I read those, but she's now published them on Amazon, so I was like, oh, I'll just reread these, and they actually hold up better than I thought.
Remember,
she's Canadian. I think her husband actually played like relatively competitive hockey, so the hockey in it is actually like reasonable. Like, it's not deranged. And she gets the league names right.
You're saying that they're not climbing over the glass?
Yes. Yes.
To have sex in the penalty box?
Yeah. But I have, like, in my illness, reached a phase of I'm reading hockey. Hey, but you're going to laugh. This is my thought process. I was, like, having this struggle between wanting to hit my book count on Goodreads and whether or not I should admit to reading these and marking them as read on Goodreads. Because I was literally, like... No, but my thought process was literally, Georgia and Mal are going to see these on my Goodreads, and I don't know what text I'm going to get about them. It was an actual internal conversation.
I was so close to texting you being like, you okay? And it's also funny because it's like interspersed, and I always feel this way because I'm like, I can't say that I'm reading these books because it's interspersed with Mallory's like non-fiction or like literary fiction reads. This is so fucking embarrassing. I'm reading like Saddled Up and Ride, and Mallory's like reading about the history of plastic or something.
But I like I actually had like a serious internal conversation about like, do I mark these as read?
Okay, we have Samantha gave 4 stars to Offside.
That one I actually really like.
By Avery Keelan.
I'm not ashamed of that one. I didn't rate the other ones. I just marked them as read.
No shame. Absolutely no shame. Yeah.
Mallory read How to Hide an Empire, a history of the greater United States.
I can't admit to reading these books.
Yeah. It's been, yeah.
Oh my God.
I will say that we are planning to do.
You are literally just doing hockey research.
Yeah. I'm doing research. We are going to do a hockey romance episode that Katie Strang has committed to participating.
Katie Strang has committed to it, and we have asked.
She has Lexi committed
LaFleur
to
come on. She has not responded.
I
feel like guilty. We're like taking away Katie Strang from some like hard hitting.
It was her idea.
About hockey culture. No. Read some like
it was Katie's idea.
Okay, I feel like Katie the entire DM'd point of me. Our podcast is that you can do hard hitting journalism,
that's
and
true.
You can also.
That is true.
Read bad
you can have
romance.
Multitudes.
Exactly.
Okay, Katie DM'd me and asked for a hockey romance recommendation. And I had not yet started reading these at that point. And I was like, I don't know. I have to think about it. But then I was like, if you read one, then we need to have an episode where we talk about these books.
Yeah, that's
and
fair.
She was like, yes.
We got to pick
I do think you should
Mallory,
read the
I want
one
you to
that
read...
I gave 4 stars to and tell me if it's like... I'm just too ill or it's actually good.
Mallory, I want you to read the one. I can't, Sam, I don't know if you read this one. The one that's clearly based off of the Ottawa Senators taxi scandal.
Oh, I have not read that.
Okay, I will. That sounds great. That. I'm obsessed.
Okay, we'll figure it out. Well, let us know if anyone has recommendations.
Yeah, if you have hockey romance recommendations, please don't send us the one where she's naked in the penalty box. I don't want to read it. I don't want my eyeballs to be scarred by that again. I want to unremember it. Unsee it. It was,
and I really struggle with the ones that are very clearly based off of a player.
Yeah, yeah. Like agreed. Okay, but Georgia, I actually need you to read this book and tell me if it's good or if I'm deranged.
I finished my 16 cowboy ones. So
did you read?
It's actually like pretty well written.
Ovechkin Crosby one.
I read that one.
I did not.
That was really really high rated on like the romance.
It's super high rated. And it's quite good, I would say, out of all of them. Mm-hmm. But it's also like.
You said it was very obvious.
Oh my God. It's so obvious. They're drafted like whatever, you know what, whatever. It's fine. It's super obvious to them, but it's also the most well-written because it like time jumps, but it time jumps mm-hmm. in a really smart way.
Interesting.
But it's also part of a whole series of like gay hockey romances. So like there's like multiple anyway, there's a bunch of them. Okay. Yeah.
You'll be
I think honestly, okay. like out of the ones I've read, that's probably the most well written. Because the other ones are just like super meathead like
okay.
ones, really.
We should need to move on because now we are just planning out a different episode other than the episode that we are doing right now.
Yes,
but I do
sorry.
Think
but
that we should compare.
You send us your recs.
And anyway.
Actually, the best one I read, and I reread it all the time because I love it so much, is this one where it's this Russian guy and he gets married to his childhood best friend because he needs a friend.
They have this in hard copy America. Now, right? It was like originally just online. I saw it in the bookstore the other day, I think.
I don't know. But this is actually what happened to Artur Silovs, basically. He got married to, well, he was dating her, I think. But they got married because he needed a friend. So he was a junior hockey player, and he had a wife, and they lived with a billet family. But I think they're divorced now, so. Anyway, I love that one. Okay, sorry. Let's back on track. Should we talk about the Canucks?
I guess so. I guess that's allegedly what this podcast is about.
So, are the Canucks still at the top of the Pacific?
They're still at the top of the Pacific, but that is because, as we have talked about a little bit, I think, is that the NHL is really bad this year.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, I think the Oilers are second in the Pacific, but the Oilers had that horrible start. So, is that saying much?
That's embarrassing. Yeah.
Canucks were quite a bit ahead of the Oilers the last time we talked. I think we last dropped an episode at the end of January, and they're now 3 points behind with a game in hand.
Well,
Canucks have lost all of their games to LA Kings this season. They were garbage last night. It's been fun.
Our last 10 games are 500, so.
Yeah.
Not ideal. Our power play is, like, trash. Which is not
yeah good. Which is very weird because like I feel like earlier in the season that was actually like really what was setting them apart,
yeah,
but obviously can't last forever.
I realize this isn't exactly groundbreaking, but I think what concerns me the most is LA style is probably closest to playoff hockey, and I'm not convinced that, like, despite how well the season has gone, that they actually have the depth and structure required to make a run.
No, they're not going to make a run.
I don't think they're going to make it very far.
And Demko's out. He should be back before, I think, in the next few games. Rick talked
about. I think so.
And I said, is Lindholm playing again? He's been kind of.
That I do not know. I think he was. I watched the first period last night and then
I
went to go put Sloan down and fell asleep putting her down.
I did not live through Pacific Northwest Division hockey of the Minnesota Wild to then have the LA Kings do this to me.
It's just so brutal.
I hate it.
It's so boring. I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm not saying it doesn't like win cups. Like, obviously we know New Jersey won cups, but it just sucks.
It's yeah. But it's the thing, I guess, like this is what happens in leagues. Like, you cycle through offense and defense, and we are still in an offensive, like, ascendancy. And this is the way to stop it, which is the worst. I just don't. It's not enjoyable hockey. And it's just frustrating. It's that frustrating, like, gross hockey. So who are we currently, if the playoffs start, who are we playing? Vegas?
I believe it's Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Who we also play on Monday.
We play them like two times, I think, before the end of the season.
Yeah.
So
big games.
Fun test.
I will be at the game tomorrow.
Ooh, how are... I think we haven't recorded since Sloan went to her first game.
She loves it. She likes the snacks. Like, I think she's there for the food. So we took her the first time, and she was, like, really excited for hockey. Like, was kind of interested. She gets really excited when they score. And then she does, like, she's, like, freaking out and, like, clapping aww her hands and stuff. But mostly there, she's mostly there for the food. Like,
okay,
she wants fries. And then, like, at the second intermission, she asks for grapes, which thankfully they sell at the, like, Tim Hortons stand in section 109. They sell, like, a little fruit plate. So then she gets, like, fruits. But she basically just spends the whole time eating.
That's fair.
But she asked to go. Like, I was going to another game with my dad after she went to her first game. And as I was leaving, she's like, can I come? And so we just, like, took her. So she's actually been to two games.
Do you have to get a ticket for her?
No.
How old do they have to be?
It's not an age restriction. It's a size restriction.
Oh, yeah, I think they have to be on, like, the lap.
Yeah, right? It's some kind of, I can't remember what the actual, it's like under a certain height. They're free. It was supposed to be two. I think historically it was two. So I actually thought we had to get her a ticket, but we called and they said it's a height thing. She is not a fan of Crazy Pete. It's genetic.
I like very happy. Does he get like, first of all, he has earplugs in, so he doesn't have to live with his own noise.
Yeah.
And then like, how does he do it? Like how?
I don't know.
I don't know. Mallory, do you know who Crazy Pete is?
You've complained about him before.
Yeah.
Okay. Many a times.
Yeah.
Just like every game. And then the Lions games. It's a lot. That's fair. Yeah. I think because your seats are in behind the Canuck or behind the opposition net, right?
Yeah.
So are Izzy's. And that means that we are in WAG Central.
Like, we are in WAG Central.
All the families, like all the family and friends tickets, because when I went to the game, I was behind, I never know how to say his name, P.S. Suter, his entire family. I was behind them. I was behind someone else who I think is Sam Lafferty's wife. And then the Millers showed up.
Yeah.
And it was just like women, blonde women in neutrals who do not react to anything.
They sit in, they usually sit in like 110 and 111.
Yeah, we're in 110. So yeah.
We're in 109.
Yeah, smack dab in the middle of all of them. It's so funny.
Yeah. And it's not just Canucks wags. It's also some of the rows are out of town because I remember sitting in front of Carey Price's dad once.
Oh. The last game I went to, I think it was like a Kelowna minor hockey team was there to play in the intermission. And this kid scored the nicest goal I've ever seen in Timbits hockey. He went like top shelf. It was crazy. Anyway, they were all sitting around us for the warm up because it was, they were playing Montreal. So it was a crazy crowd because there's so many Habs fans that go, but yeah, it'll be interesting. Like Izzy has tickets for the first game and it'll be the first playoff game in Vancouver in a decade. Which is crazy. So it's going to be nuts. It would be much better. Like there'd be more energy in the city if they weren't limping their way into it.
It's just some expectation management.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully. So, but it'll be exciting. It's always fun to have playoff hockey back because Vancouver is a very strange sports town. If you're not winning, you're out of mind.
Okay. I will say though that I am more excited about Brock Besser being at goal number 39 and probably hitting 40 goals a season and Quinn Hughes winning the Norris. Like I am more invested in those two storylines than I am in the Canucks actually making it very far in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, also like they're not going to like, I think that's not like a controversial take to have, like they're not, I don't know. I just don't see them making it far. So let's go for the things that we can actually accomplish.
What are your thoughts on Quinn Hughes' Norris chances?
I don't understand the Makar. Well, I do. I do because it's Kale Makar. But he's statistically better than him in like every category, basically. So
yeah. It's not close. Like, I don't understand the people who are like, it's neck and neck.
Yeah.
It's not neck and neck.
Except for, I think,
Kale Makar's like the same size.
They're both short.
Yeah. I don't know. Have the Canucks ever had? No, they haven't, right?
I think he would be the first.
First ever?
Ever. He would be the first ever.
Be very exciting. And also like people are shit talking him beginning of the season not being very good. Guess what, he's really good.
He's been unreal.
It'll also be good for him to be able to lord it over his siblings.
Yeah, he needs to be able to bully the devil children.
Exactly. Absolutely does.
Brief detour to Oilers land, Mallory.
Oh yeah, Mallory, give us an Oilers update.
Give us a Connor update.
The update is that Corey Perry and Evander Kane are on their team.
Oh, I saw this.
They got in a fight yesterday because Evander Kane, unsurprisingly, is lazy and bad at hockey, which is so funny because Corey Perry, as the late great Christina of Puck Bunny's fame, said Corey Perry plays hockey like he hates it. So yeah, they got in a big spat on the bench yesterday, which is a definitely I hope they both lose situation. But Connor has 97 assists. Leon just got 40 goals. I don't know. He needs to get his cup because Eichel got his cup last year, okay? And also because I said that at the beginning of the year that Connor was going to get his cup this year, and I can't cope. Also, okay, this is for Georgia, mostly. I saw this, and it made me want to scream. Somebody was comparing Connor McDavid and Harry Kane, and I wanted to kill someone. I was, why would you besmirch my poor Connor McDavid by doing something like, shut up, shut up.
They're right.
Shut up. Why are you saying this boring white man who scores all the time but never has won a trophy? What are you talking about? I don't get it. I don't get the similarities.
I did hear someone refer to Harry Kane today as a generational loser. For context, Sam, Harry Kane is like the best striker in the world, but we hate him because he played for Tottenham, but he has never won a trophy ever. And he left the Premier League to go to Bayern Munich because Bayern Munich have won the German league like every year for
for a decade,
like
plus.
A decade. And they are about to lose. And the team that's about to win is Bayer Leverkusen, who's never won.
That's hilarious.
To lose, like, he's not going to win anything.
Isn't this basically Corey Perry, though?
Also that.
Yeah, kind of that. But, yeah, so.
And also,
honestly, Mal, it's not a bad comparison.
Shut up.
Okay, I have an important question. If the Oilers win the cup. Big if.
Will Mallory go to Edmonton?
Is Connor gonna have his Stanley Cup day?
At his wedding.
Their wedding?
Yes! At the McWedding.
At the McWedding.
He gets an extra cup day because he gets it at the McWedding.
It's gotta happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Lauren Cowan would be all over that. What
Lauren
about
Cowan
if
would
they
not want to be upstaged by the Stanley Cup at her own wedding, please?
Yeah. What about if they lose? Like if they like lose in the first round or the second round? Is Leon gonna come back?
Yes, because you can't split up Celeste and Lauren.
You can't, yeah. Because Celeste and Lauren are in love. Yes.
I don't know.
And also, their dogs are in love, so. And also, like, where would he go? Where would Leon go?
I don't know, he'd end up in fucking Vegas or some shit. They, like,
they're doing, like,
to get all these
so, a lot of crime over there.
They
I don't
are
know.
Doing some fraudulent.
There's money laundering happening.
Money laundering crimes, like, come on. It doesn't make sense how they're able to continue to pull off this shit.
Okay. I mean, while we're talking about the playoffs and stuff of that nature, we do need to briefly touch on whatever is happening in the Eastern
oh my God.
Conference, which is that somebody has to go to the playoffs, guys.
Despite best efforts not to.
So right now in the Metropolitan Division, please guess how many points the third place team has.
71.
Okay. No, that was too late. That was too good of a... I'm sorry for setting the scene like they were that bad. But no, the Islanders have 85 points. Carolina in second place has 103.
That is incredible.
The second wild card spot is Detroit with 84 points.
No, we have to get out of this stupid fucking bracket system.
There are too many.
It so much.
It's so bad.
Agreed.
And also, it goes
and
on for too
gonna
long.
It's not going to work. You're not going to create rivalries. Like, the rivalries that were created in the past were because, like, they're natural. You can't make, like, you can't just, like, drum it up. It doesn't work. And it's, I know that they want to do it because they like the fucking NCAA bracket and blah, blah, blah. No one gives a shit. Like, give us 1 through 8, please. I need.
Oh, I agree with that. But I also think that there's too many people in the playoffs in general. I think that 16 teams do not need to be making the playoffs. We do not have enough quality teams for that, as we can see from what's happening in the East right now. And tell also, Gary that. Honestly, he's about all to of add the hockey. Fucking
three more teams. We're going to end up with 35 teams in like.
I am so anti-expansion. I know it's never going to happen, but I am pro-contraction. Contract this league.
Get fucking
That's what I'm saying. We don't have enough players who are good, and we don't have enough players who aren't sexual predators.
Relegation. So. You should get relegated to the AHL.
Oh, yeah. God. Bring me relegation. Oh, please.
Okay, but how many times do you think the Canucks would have been relegated at this point if we had relegation?
They should have been. The last 10 years.
Like, I don't think that there would even be a chance. I think that anytime we even made the playoffs, those, like, years would have just been years that we slipped out of being in the AHL.
Yeah, but Chicago would have gotten relegated, so I'll take it.
Speaking of relegation, did you see that Man City's going to have to pay a bunch of money because they need to relegate them, but they can't?
Yeah.
Fun.
Very fun. I need Luton to get out of the relegation. Because they're really fun and their manager is super hot. And so we need the hot manager to stay in the Premier League.
I thought it was Luton until Tuesday when we played them.
You thought it was Luton?
I don't know.
Hot coaches are important parts of sports.
It's also very important because also Luton Town never sends a player out for after like after the game. They're also only ever like, seen their manager talk.
They're doing some like friends and family match and then like sold it out because the manager's so hot that everyone wants to go.
It's genuinely true. I think that in August, when the new season starts, before the new season starts, you should teach me everything I need to know to get into football next season.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's what we should do. It can be an ongoing segment.
We can bring Anna on to teach us about the long-term history of Arsenal.
Yeah.
We'll watch Fever Pitch.
We're going to become a soccer player.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Let's just pivot. Yeah, let's pivot. You'll have a lot of fun fighting.
We waited for the Canucks to start being good so that we could start watching a totally different sport.
Can you imagine Samantha unleashed against these Man U fans who are psychotic? Oh, my God. It would be so good.
Yeah, there's like next level hating, I do feel.
Also, next level delusion. You do not understand delusion until... I had to watch Man U play today and cheer for them. I wanted to stab my eyes out watching Casemiro play football. It was one of the worst things I've ever experienced.
High bar.
Like, she watched a lot of Benning hockey.
I watched a lot of Benning's hockey. Oh my God. It was horrible.
This is a really productive episode. We've planned like three other episodes.
This is great.
This is fantastic. This is fantastic.
Okay. Are we... Do we need to do more Eastern Conference sucks?
No, they suck.
Can we laugh at them some more?
We can laugh at them more if you want.
Yeah, but they've been bad for a while. Because remember, what was the year where it was basically like locked up in like December about who was going to make the playoffs? That was like 2 years ago or something.
Fewer teams.
There was like a 20-point difference between the... Yeah, anyway. Fewer East Coast teams. Let's get rid of them.
Either contraction or relegation. I need it.
Mallory, how long until Arizona ends up in Kansas City because Patrick Mahomes buys them?
Hopefully soon.
Or one of the Kelseys.
This is a great segue into our next segment.
Yeah, this is extremely good because here is, there's the ongoing Arizona saga. I don't know what organized crime syndicate, like, I don't know. I haven't seen Breaking Bad. So, like, what's happening in Arizona? Who has something on Gary Bettman? Why are the Arizona Coyotes still kicking? In general, this is all going back to that for some reason, the rogue Coyotes admin on Twitter tweeted like something along the lines of like Phoenix Coyotes has a nice ring to it. And I was like, okay, are you just posting to post or like, are you adding more things to this saga? Which I did look into. And, okay, it's this whole bullshit.
Mallory made notes.
I made notes because I even was looking this up because I was like, what is going on with you freaks? Also because I was mad about stadiums for many other purposes and reasons, obviously. So in 2013, they signed that 15-year lease with Glendale, but the NHL, like, forced them into doing it, kind of. And Glendale was like, hey, this is actually a horrible deal. And at one point, they weren't paying their rent. They were, like, kind of halfway blackmailing Glendale into waiving the arena rent, whatever that means. So then that's when they, like, made their whole move over to ASU. And
this is when Clayton Keller and...
Oh, they went to go speak, like, to, like, the city board.
Showed up to the whatnot. City council meeting.
So now they're playing at this ASU thing in Tempe, Arizona, which is, like, I think, like, 25, 30 minutes. Like, it's all, like, the Phoenix metro area.
It just seems too hot there.
I know. Exactly. So... them in the Tempe thing really made me think about, I've started thinking about it again because of John Fisher is the owner of the A's. And
oh, yes. Sacramento.
Yeah. So they announced that they were moving to this, I think it's a AAA field essentially in Sacramento.
Yeah.
I know we've, like, definitely talked about this before, talking about Oakland moving to Las Vegas and all of that drama coinciding. I don't know what episode it would have been. We don't even record that often, so it's somewhere in our archives.
Somewhere. They did.
Somewhere.
Did you see the post where they were doing a moment of silence for someone at the Oakland A's stadium, and then someone was like, not hard to do here, because they have the shot of the moment of silence, and then there's no one in the stadium.
Yeah, like 3,000 people.
And you can also, there's so few people that when you're watching the broadcast, you can hear people's conversations in the stands. Because... you can just hear, like, and they can yell at the player. Like, there's no ambiance, so, or ambient noise. Like, you can just hear everything. Mm.
So now they're moving to this, like, intimate stadium. And intimate is the nice word for saying extremely small, because they're not even going to start building that Vegas ballpark until next year, like April of next year.
And they're they're just going to be called the Athletics.
Are they?
Yeah, they're not going to have a city name attached to them.
And then also, if you go into this, the A's are sending down people that are on their team, that are, like, expressing support for staying in Oakland or whatever, I think. Did you see that? They have these bracelets, and one of the players was wearing them when he got sent down to AAA. John Fisher, we hate you. He also said in the thing when they were moving to Sacramento, he was talking about them... how excited he was to see Aaron Judge hit home runs there. You want to see people hit home runs on your team that you own. Cool.
Oh no.
Did you see the renderings for the, like, Vegas strip ballpark or whatever?
No, I did not.
Okay, they are so unrealistic. Like, I don't see the, like, feasibility of them. It, like, looks like the Sydney Opera House for some reason.
Oh yeah, I guess it has to be
because it's covered, right? Because of, like, obviously the desert heat. But then, like, you're going to be, it's where the Tropicana was. I haven't been to Vegas, like, I don't know where most things are, but it's, like, that super old one, very, like, old view of Las Vegas. I think it was in a Bond movie. Knocked down for this $1 billion stadium. And I'm thinking, like, are the glares off of, like, these, like, glass casino hotels not going to blind people while they're trying to, like, catch fly balls? I don't know what's happening there. I don't think it's going to happen.
I hate closed roof stadiums. Like, I just think they're, I mean, I get why you have to do it. Like, the Trop is horrible.
It's so funny.
It's so bad. I get why you have to do it in those places. It's too hot. I mean, the players have to wear, like, full uniforms in the summer, which is why they've brought in these atrocious uniforms, which we can also discuss later about the fucking bankruptcy of MLB and all the pitchers that are dying. Anyway, I get why they have to do it, but they're horrible. And they're just, like, visual eyesores, like, architecturally. They're just not, they don't look nice. I guess the best one that's been done is Minute Maid Stadium in Houston, because they did it with mostly windows and stuff, but they're just awful.
Yeah, and so Minute Maid's also a rolling roof. Like, it can be in and out.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was just closed roof.
No, it's both.
I don't know. Mallory, what are the best stadiums?
San Francisco's. I like Seattle's a lot.
Agreed.
And I mean, I like Rockies Stadium a lot. It's really beautiful because of the mountains, but yeah.
I think San Diego's has the best.
I haven't been to San Diego.
City skyline view. And then
and I haven't been to Pittsburgh. People really like Pittsburgh. I haven't been to
Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh is like a super famous one. And I really like Camden Yards.
I haven't been to Camden Yards.
I think it looks really nice.
Well, also the problem. Okay, so I'm trying to go to all like 30 ballparks, but I'm not doing it with any sort of urgency. So I'm kind of suffering from this problem, which is that teams always want new stadiums. And guys, I'm not doing this quickly. So I can't do this turnover. Like the Braves stadium, I went to their old one. I haven't been to their new one. And guys, it still works.
What about Kansas City?
Yeah, that's the big thing. Kansas City. Okay, so we can talk about this vote. It happened last week. Today is the 7th. We're recording on the 7th. We recorded after the women's basketball game. We can talk about it later. Anyway, okay, I'll go into this vote.
Basically, they want to move the ballpark into the city.
Yeah, okay, so there's the history of the Truman Schwartz Complex is the... So the Royal Stadium and the Chiefs Stadium are right next to each other. They were built in the late 60s, early 70s, like when that was like the big thing. And also there was this big... like that was like the movement towards kind of more suburban parks, things like that. Like it's on the highway. It's off of I-70. Like it's weird area. Like there's nothing around. And granted, Arrowhead is hosting the World Cup and has a bunch of money coming for renovations. It's coming from some from FIFA. Some it's coming from Kansas. Some it's coming from Missouri. Some it's coming from Kansas City also. I don't know how, like, we'd need to fix, like, some transit before that, because I don't understand how anybody from Europe is going to get to that stadium. But,
I know. There's no... How are they getting there? Like,
exactly.
You have to have, like, shuttle buses, basically.
Literally.
It would be like... Sam, it would be like if the Canucks played in, like, Ladner.
Oh, good.
Like, in the middle of Ladner.
Basically the Giants.
Like, it is! So... Yeah.
And it just like actually pops originally out of
so weird. When they built it, they wanted to have a rolling roof in between it, actually. Fun fact.
Oh.
But they want to move, they wanted, and they still want to move the Royals Park downtown, which to be fair, there's a fair amount of parking lot. Like I think there is a graphic that goes around about Kansas City's downtown being covered in like 70% parking lot. Like we certainly have room to spare. I'm not saying that like there's the most vibrant downtown of all time. But, like, there's this vote that was to extend a 3/8 cent sales tax for 40 years. Like, it's currently in its, like, there is one already set. And it was set to expire in 2031. So, technically, the Chiefs and Royals are on a lease until 2031. They can't leave until 2031. But it would be, like, worth, like, $2 billion and expire in 2064. It was voted no, voted down, 58% no, 42% yes. And, yeah, it was supposed
basically
to be for the...
Basically, like, the, what is the owners? What are their names?
The John Sherman is the owner of the Royals. The Hunts are the owners of the Chiefs.
The Hunts are trying to get public money.
Yeah.
To fund the renovation of the stadium.
Mm-hmm. And, like, the
Even
thing is that they already have this money
bajillion
coming.
Dollars.
And also the thing is the Hunts don't live in Kansas City. The Hunts live in Dallas because they're a bunch of like oil money. Also, yeah, all of this thing, it's like $1 billion stadium, $800 million Arrowhead improvements. They literally spent $3 million, the owners group did, in like the campaigning for this, and they still lost.
It's ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous. And also the Royals are claiming that they need a new stadium because, which is also, I read this list recently. It was ranking all of the ballparks. And it had Kauffman in the top 5. Like,
I actually liked Kauffman.
Yeah, it was renovated nice. In 2009.
It's just in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, like I can understand the location isn't bad, but they've also been claiming that that Kauffman has bad concrete, and Arrowhead, which was built at the same time, got the good concrete, but Kaufman's concrete is bad, and so it can't work anymore. So this entire vote just seemed like everyone was lying. The Shermans and the Hunts wanted more money. They clearly have money that they could spend themselves.
No, but that's ridiculous. I also think it's super dumb. I understand public funding for these kind of things. If it's going to be a site that is used by the community, that becomes like a community space, for multiple things. But like, who uses Arrowhead other than concerts?
Exactly. They use it for concerts. And also they were threatening to leave if they don't win.
Yeah, get fucked.
If they don't win this, is so stupid because, so in downtown Kansas City, there is an arena. It is now called the T-Mobile Center, and it is literally built. It is the arena that the promise of Crosby built, I guess, kind of. That was the threat to get the new arena in Pittsburgh, and that also pretty much got them the Crosby draft. Because they said, hey, we're going to move to Kansas City because they have a new stadium and they'll give it to us if you don't give us a new one.
Yeah.
And also the first overall pick. So, we've seen them do this before. I mean, people threaten this. They try to threaten this all the time. Obviously, with the Chargers moving, the Rams moved out of St. Louis. Stuff like that. I don't know. It's just generally shitty.
But it's also, this is the shit where people are like, I don't want politics in sports. And that's this is part of the way that it's woven in. You can't escape it. When you have these billionaire people who are like, we need the public to fund this. You can use your fucking war crime money to do this if you want to.
All income pretty much has proven to go towards the ownership. There's no substantial economic benefit to areas, really.
Particularly with that one, because there's
nothing around it.
There's nothing around it, so it's not drawing people to the games is making reviving the downtown or whatever.
Yeah, it's really dumb
in the same way. So it's kind of ridiculous. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I wonder if in our lifetime, Sam, what they do with Rogers. It's been around for 25 years. 30 years? How long?
It's got to be... It was built in, 95?
So 30 years, yeah.
It was built then. I don't actually remember.
I think probably they'll just renovate. But for a long time, the idea was... So they needed to build this stadium for the Whitecaps, and they were going to build the stadium on the waterfront.
Yeah.
They were going to, fill in parts of the waterfront. And so the stadium was going to look out onto the water. It was this huge thing, and then they never ended up doing it, and they... ended up in BC Place instead. But I guess.
I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, GM Place was built privately, right? Arthur Griffiths.
Yes, Arthur Griffiths.
Undertook that to great personal loss.
Yes, literally.
Yeah. So I don't.
Team.
Yeah. I think they just need a practice facility, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true. I think Quadrelli reported they were going to do it at SFU, but that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking as someone who's been stranded on the mountain because of snow, doesn't really make sense.
They used to practice at 8 rinks.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
And now they either practice at
8 rinks.
They either practice at Rogers or they practice at UBC. So yeah. I think most of the players live in Yale Town anyway. So
you should just go practice at the Coliseum. Revitalize the Coliseum and turn it into their practice facility.
I haven't been there in so long because
I have not been to the Coliseum since the Toygos moved
the Giants. Yeah,
and I've also not seen the Giants since they moved to Ladner. Loved going to WHL games, but I'm not driving to Ladner and back.
Langley, they're in Langley.
Practice facility is in
Ladner. Yeah. Still, I think it must be still. I know, because all the kids went to high school in Ladner.
They all went to SDSS.
Yeah, I think so. all the public funding and this kind of stuff is pretty ridiculous. But I guess we'll see what happens. I don't know. Mal, do you want the baseball stadium to be downtown?
I don't have a problem with it. I do. Because I like going to various stadiums and stuff. I definitely know I don't want to pay for it, obviously. Pay for it yourself if you want it. I have a complicated relationship with Kaufman. I feel it's fine. And I definitely think I have kind of a hometown, like almost like a hometown bias in the sense that I don't think it's that cool because I go there all the time. Like, and because I've been to so many other parks, I feel that a park that is integrated into the city is always going to seem cooler.
Yeah, it's always going to be better.
But the fact that Kansas City really lacks a lot of public transit options, I think would make it very difficult right now to accommodate it. I think that like a lot of funding needs to go to different places before it's really feasible. And also, the Royals need to win, not lose 100 games, maybe.
Well, that's why they signed Bobby Witt forever.
Forever.
They must have told him he was getting a new ballpark. We'll do this for you, Bobby.
Shall we?
I mean, they just had a series with the White Sox, so they're cruising right now. They're at least 6-4, but it hasn't been off to a great start for the Royals. I mean, they lost their series with the Orioles. Orioles are
like favorites, I think, in the East.
Like, I understand that, like, we're not going to be beating them with our bullpen, but
also there's a lot of issues right now with baseball because all the pitchers' arms are falling off because of a variety of reasons.
Use tar anymore.
Yeah, they won't let them use sticky stuff, and they're pitch clocked now, which is the complaint. So like every single one of the like Cy Young basically favorites is now having to get Tommy John or UCL surgery, which is not great. Thoughts and prayers to everyone has a boyfriend who plays fantasy baseball like me.
Especially that's my problem with fantasy Garrett hockey Cole. This year is that nobody could stay healthy.
Yeah.
Should we pivot?
Mm-hmm. Basketball.
Okay. Basketball. We are recording this on the afternoon of April 7th, 2024, following the NCAA Women's Basketball Championships, in which Dawn Staley and the Gamecocks beat Caitlin Clark and Iowa. Did you watch the game?
I did. I watched a lot of games. And that's a lot coming from me because I do not like basketball. I'm a true believer that basketball is heightest against short people, which is a fact. And therefore, I can't do a layup because I'm too short. I'm 5'2".
That's
I cannot
not
do a layup.
Possible.
And therefore, I do not like.
There's no way you can't do a layup.
Yeah, you got to be able to do. Yeah.
No, I cannot. I don't understand.
But like elementary school.
I can't blame height for that. That is coordination. Yeah. I will admit that. I do not like basketball. I got so into this. I was doing the hands on the knee crouch in front of the TV like I'm a fucking 40-year-old man.
Interesting. So I usually do hands on my face. That's a big.
I was doing the full like this lean. Lean into. Anyway. It was really exciting. I think there's like college basketball is really exciting. March Madness is so built to just be like to draw you in because it's do or die and these narratives start to get built. And yeah, it was super exciting. Caitlin Clark is unbelievable shooter. Like she throws the ball up and you're like, there's no way that's going in. It goes in every single time. But South Carolina has a 6'7" player and they were just really tall.
Yeah.
So they got a lot of rebounds and stuff. And they also played, to be fair, their bench played really well. Their freshmen played really well. And Dawn Staley's like an incredible coach. They went undefeated. So they deserve to win, but I feel bad for Caitlin Clark. But it's really exciting. Like I know the last game was the most viewed basketball game ever in ESPN history. And I'm sure this game will overjump it. I think it was only second to the US men playing Portugal in the 2014 World Cup, I think, as the highest rated non-football program ever broadcasted by ESPN. So
the stats were in the first round, Iowa viewership by game, first round, 3.2 million, second round, 4.9 million, Sweet 16, 6.9 million, Elite 8, 12.3 million, Final Four, 14.2 million.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They were predicting an average of over 20 million today. So we'll see where they land.
And that would be more than the US versus Portugal game then.
Yeah.
It's also like everyone's been saying it, but the men's tournament isn't very good this year. People are just more excited. They're just more excited about the women's tournament, which is kind of fun. So they're pulling more from that side. And like, this is a reminder, because ESPN for years did shit all. They had the rights to the women's tournament and did nothing. And this is just a reminder that people want to watch. Like, if you make it accessible and you do the slightest bit of production, people will watch it because it's great. Like, yeah.
The viewership stats when it was on CBS mm-hmm. and on broadcast TV was like regularly in the 11 millions.
Yeah.
And it only dipped after it went to ESPN.
Yeah, because they like didn't do anything with it. Yeah. So yeah, it's really frustrating.
But it's like people are just losing their minds about this.
I know. Yeah.
Dawn Staley. Legend.
She's incredible. She's wearing a $5,000 Louis Vuitton jacket. Like, what a fucking icon.
Do you think that it was loaned or do you think she bought it?
I think she bought it. Maybe it was gifted.
I don't know how much money she makes.
She's also a huge Philadelphia Eagles fan, and Jalen Hurts was there, so which is very cute.
I did see that.
She's very Philly. She was like sobbing after the game, which was very, very sweet.
Avery pointed out that when she first started as a head coach, she was still an active WNBA.
She was
player,
yeah, she was playing in the WNBA. Crazy. It's nuts. It's yeah. absolutely nuts. Yeah, she's incredible. She's an Olympic champ. Like, anyway, yeah, she's an incredible coach. And South Carolina is like an incredible program from what I can tell in terms of what they've done over the past decade and stuff. So they'll be back next year. We'll see what happens with Iowa. It'll be interesting. I thought Hannah Stuckey was really good.
Yeah, and she's like a sophomore. She's a crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she was really good. They had a couple of like, they were definitely way more of the underdogs in the terms of they obviously have Caitlin Clark and they have a few other like good players, but yeah, we'll see what happens to them next year. Obviously, Caitlin Clark's going to go to Indiana, and I think they already sold out season tickets.
That's so crazy.
I mean, all the WNBA girls were shit talking her this entire week. So,
well,
did you see? Did you see that. Like what they were saying? It's. Yeah. Intense. I mean, I'm sure like if I had been, it was a WNBA player and everyone was saying like this woman saved women's basketball, I would be like fuck you too. But it's also like
you can support people on the come up.
You can support yeah. people like yeah. what are you doing?
We do yeah. really need to have more WNBA teams. They really need a Philadelphia WNBA team. I think
that it's beyond me that Philadelphia does not have.
It does. I cannot imagine why they don't have one.
It's crazy. The Raptors, or whatever. What is their? Is it Raptors Sports Entertainment? Are they part of whatever? I don't know.
MLSE.
Yeah. Are they part of that?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Drake's involved somehow. Anyway, they put in a request for a team, which would be really great. There's a couple of really good Canadian girls who are in the tournament this year. There's obviously like a Kia Nurse, famous Canadian, but that would be really great. I need a women's sports team in Vancouver. Like, please.
It's fun.
I feel it's gonna be years because we're so far away. So it's unfortunate, but one day. Day.
Okay, speaking of everyone watching women's sports, this is a few days ago. This happened in the middle of the week. I think this happened at the LSU Iowa game that was the Final Four semifinal.
Yeah. The 12.3 million game.
Yeah. Megan Shaika tweeted, "Why does it seem like everyone is watching women's basketball?" Oh, because everyone is watching. I wouldn't say Megan Shaika is our number one white girl, but she is up there. Great post, Megan. Great post. Anyway, Bobby Ryan replied for some reason. Name seven players. Not one, not two, five to seven. First to last names. Go for it. For some reason. I don't know.
And then spent 24 hours doubling down on it and arguing that no one watches women's basketball, despite the, like, undisputable fact that 12.3 million people watch this game in the United States alone.
And, like,
that doesn't count anywhere else.
And not that this does anything to, like, legitimize it or whatever, but, like, LeBron James was watching it.
I mean, you had the amount of people that were even just like
at that game. And the game was
better right now.
Cleveland. We were in Cleveland, Ohio.
Chris Jones, player for the Kansas City Chiefs, was, like, live tweeting his love of Caitlin Clark. Like, just what are we doing? Like, I don't know. It's just weird. Like, it was a weird time for the no one watches women's sports dudes, because they don't have an argument. Like they can't say, like, the stats, ball don't lie, stats don't lie. Like, I don't know what to I'm sorry.
Oh, but you know, you can disregard the stats because you personally don't know a single person who can name a woman or, like, watches the game. Like, frankly, I think that just says, like, you don't have any friends, you don't know anyone.
I'm willing to bet way more people can name women's basketball players than they could name male NCAA hockey players.
Listen, there are probably more people in the United States who can name the first and last names of seven women's basketball players than can name seven NHL teams.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I would, like, bet
I would definitely
money on
say
that
if you go up to a random person on the street and you say, do you know who Caitlin Clark is versus do you know who Bobby Ryan is? They might say Bobby Ryan is, like, some dude from their church. Like,
or, like, Candace Parker. Like,
yeah,
there's, like, a history of, like, these players. Like, yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, like, sorry, your, like, life sucks, Bobby Ryan. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like,
Seward and Diana Taurasi had Snoop Dogg on in the second intermission today. Like,
it's just, what's just happening stupid here? It's stupid. And
but it's
like,
it's good to know that at any level, the, like, most salient comeback is, can you name seven players?
Yeah. It's also like, even like, you're asking someone, like, online, like, Google works.
Well, but then also, anytime, like, someone named players, he'd be like, you just Googled that.
Yeah. So, like, the thing that just doesn't work anyway. So
the other thing,
the other thing is, like, honestly, if you ask me before this tournament, I can name a few because I'm not a big basketball person. I could name the entire starting lineup for Iowa now because I watched a bunch of the games. So, like, I don't get why they're so defensive about this. Like, what's the issue?
You also don't actually need to be such a devoted fan that you can name multiple players for it to be good for the sport. Like, casual fans exist and generate revenue. Yeah. Like, that's kind of the whole point.
Yeah. And, like, it's kind of, it's interesting. So I watched this. Now I'm like, oh, you know what? Maybe I'll try and watch more women's basketball next year. Because I know it's on. I didn't make it a priority, but maybe I will, because Caitlin Clark is so fucking good. She's really interesting to watch. And I know that there's a bunch of other players, and now I'm like, oh, maybe I will. And so, yeah, I don't know. I don't understand the, like, they're so fucking thin skinned about all this stuff. And it's like, it has literally nothing to do with you, Bobby Ryan. Like, how does this impact your life in any way? How does it affect you in any way? You don't have to watch. You can go and look up your weird conservative values all you want, like, if that's what your life desires. But, like, you don't, this doesn't impact you at all. It's just, like, it's being misogynistic for being, like, for misogyny's sake. Like, it's just so.
Oh, but he's offering $100,000 to anyone who can point out him being sexist.
This is why I don't go on Twitter anymore.
I did also enjoy he started getting into fights with people about whether or not when he was released from a tryout, he said both that he left $3 million on the table and $1.5 million on the table to go home. But he was getting into fights with people about whether or not that actually happened.
Oh my gosh.
So it's a good day.
Oh, dude, log off. Fucking Christ.
The other interesting thing about that whole 24 hours and all the like dude bros who were like Bobby Ryan's right is like the number of people supporting Bobby Ryan's point and being like, no one watches women's sports or cares about it, were also just generally responding with like pronouns and bio. And it's like, so when you say that like you are against trans women playing in women's leagues because you really care about women's sports, do you though, or do you actually think no one watches women's sports? Like, which is it? Pick a lane, stick to it.
Yeah, for real. It's the same thing of the person who decided to ask Dawn Staley in her press conference if she supports trans women playing sports.
What an answer, though.
What? I mean, she gave an incredible answer, and like, she's right. And then the person just like walked out or whatever. It's such a fucking waste of time.
Maybe and the NCAA should just stop credentialing OutKick.
Yeah. But it's also like, are they going to ask the. Are they going to ask the men's coaches that question? It's just like, they're just doing it because they don't give a shit. They don't give a shit about women's sports at all. It has nothing to do with it. They just mask themselves behind that. And it's so dumb. The culture war. The culture war. They're also losing. Like, that's the other thing, is the majority of people, like, the majority of people don't care. Of people want to watch women's sport, like, are fine to watch women's sports, or if they don't watch them, it's not because they're like, women are inferior,
they're
it's
just like they're not into sports.
Yeah And like, so they're losing the battle, and it's just like, okay, can't wait for you guys to fucking die out. Like, I'm so dumb. I never need to hear from Bobby Ryan again.
Well, he got kicked off his podcast, so it's one less platform to hear from him on.
Bobby Ryan had a podcast?
Yeah.
He was on the Nation Network.
The Nation Network.
The Beloved.
Great. On that note, I think we should bring back our original segment.
Name five
players.
But just name seven name women.
Name seven women.
Seven women that you know. Seven women, I'm starting with Victoria Pilova. She's been killing it in the midfield for Arsenal. With that, I will also take Kyra Cooney-Cross, who also, I think...
Valerie, you can't just name the lineup of Arsenal women.
She's gonna do.
I'm naming the midfield of Arsenal women, actually, okay. Presently. That's okay, what I fine. Was doing, okay?
Okay, fine. Continue. I would like to nominate Zendaya, just for her outfits that she's been wearing on this press conference for Challengers, which I am so curious of what this movie is. It seems very strange.
Morning but tennis.
She wore a dress with a full tennis person on it, and it looked so good. So shout out to Zendaya. Also, she's free from the restrictions of Euphoria.
That's not true. They're apparently trying to make a season 3.
Oh, God. I did watch the rom-com that Sydney Sweeney did with Glenn Powell.
Okay, we need to discuss that at a later date. I have opinions.
She's very beautiful. That's what I'm going to say. She cannot Let's act.
Get her a bra that fits. Actually, you should watch Reality. That's what it's called. It was very good.
Oh,
it?
Oh yeah. I saw maybe a trailer for that or something. Kelly Lee Gilmore, who
that was, what
was
I was
at
thinking.
This thing that Sam did yesterday. She's on the panel with her daughter.
She was so cool.
It was incredible because when Izzy and I left and we were talking about, we said the same thing that you said, Sam. About we knew parts of the Larry Kwong story, but we didn't know the like fine details of it. Like, I knew that he didn't play, I knew that he only played one game, I didn't realize he only played one shift. I knew the stuff about like some of the adversity they faced. I didn't know that he went to Switzerland and like basically,
yeah, I had no idea about any of that
in Switzerland. Like, there's so much fascinating stuff about him. And then also the backstory of Chad Soon reaching out to the league and they just ignored him. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
But then Kelly's story is like, you don't hear that story. You don't hear that story at all represented because she's A, because of age. And then B, because like there's a number of other reasons, but it was just like an incredible story of, and she's a really good speaker, obviously.
She was really interesting.
She's an academic, like she clearly has lectured before. Yeah. But the way she spoke was just like incredible. And she also like played hockey in the UK. Like what? This is so
anyway. The whole story was really interesting. I think really we should amazing. Have her on.
She was really amazing. And yeah, just like she's very cool. So she's part of the seven women we've named.
I'll give Lynette Woodard a shout out for she's a KU alum. But she actually was still actively talking shit. Because she's claiming that she still has the record for NCAA total points because that Caitlin Clark's doesn't count.
She has an argument because
her argument is that she played before the 3-point line was instigated, and also they were playing with the men's ball as opposed to the women's ball, which is slightly smaller.
So she's not okay. She's not wrong.
Sure. Anyway, go Hawks. Actually, that counts for both, because I meant go Hawks as in go Jayhawks, as opposed to Hawks as in Iowa, but...
It works.
Both.
Yeah, it works.
Hawkeyes. Yes. I feel like that's seven women.
I think our seven women could... I think we can also include Alex Morgan and Lindsey Horan for opening the press conference by addressing comments made by a current teammate.
Oh my gosh, but, you know, that was... goofy.
Frankly, takes way more, but like showing more leadership and accountability, and
so much. And, also, because most Lindsey Horan's a Trumpie, so
yeah,
especially oppressive coming from her.
Yeah,
that girl got booed. What's her name? Corbin
Arvin.
Something.
Mm-hmm.
Corbin something. She got
Corbin booed. Albert.
Corbin Albert. She got booed coming on in her like last game.
Yeah, actually senior team debut with the women's national team. So.
There was, the tweets were just unreal that day. It's like, nine Ooh. Lesbians and Alex Morgan on your team and you're shit-talking them. It's so fun.
I know. Dying. It's like there was this other woman who...
Being homophobic while you're playing women's sports is just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, there was this woman who denied her national team call-up because they were wearing pride jerseys and she said it went against her religion. It was like,
oh my god, yes. I remember this. There was there was a player in the NWSL who wouldn't wear the pride jersey.
I think that was the same woman.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
It's just like, what? Like, what? Why you're being a homophobe in women's sports, really?
Like, you have to actively be trying. Like, you... you have hate in your heart.
She also had liked a tweet celebrating Megan Rapinoe's injury. Like, what are you doing? Anyway. What a time to be alive.
All right. The siding off my apartment is coming off.
Mallory's house is falling apart.
It's over 100 years old. It's like, I can't believe that it's not falling apart by now. Okay. I also want to give a shout out to Hannah Schmitz then. She's a woman.
She's a woman.
In sports, she's the Red Bull strategy engineer, and she's a genius. But
can I also acknowledge Momiko Tanaka, who's Shohei Ohtani's wife, who I'm slowly becoming convinced he married and made public in order to free himself from the rumors about the
sports gambling the problems.
Sports gambling problems.
Oh my gosh. We also do need to talk about sports gambling at some point, because I literally did read a bunch of articles about sports gambling, but we just like don't have time today.
We don't have time to talk about sports gambling, but anyway, she's also a basketball player, so
yes,
for her. They're very cute, I will say that, and his dog is very cute, and his dog got a first Dodgers game certificate.
It was really cute.
Almost as cute as Sloan's one where they misspelled Sabres.
Oh my god, that was so funny. Classic introduction to being a Canucks fan.
I think I'm going to watch Love and Basketball tonight, because I love that movie.
As you should. On that note, let us know, like, if there's any segments we historically have done that you want us to bring back. As always, we love your feedback. We will try to record again within the next 2 weeks.
Fingers crossed.
You're going to put the pressure on ourselves.
That sounds fair.
Yeah, I feel like that's realistic. But thank you for listening. We love talking to you. You know where to find us online. We may or may not respond. We are at BroadcastPod. BroadcastPod@gmail.com, which we definitely don't answer. I think I check the email like once every 3 months. But you can try. If you haven't already, hit 5 stars, leave us a review, all that jazz. And we will talk to you soon.
Bye.